wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes, and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of it. We pray that somebody would be saved tonight, God, to bring you a sacrifice of praise. Bind the enemy out this place and loose your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. In this text, amen, is all about the birth of Jesus. And in verse 1, we hear, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." Amen. And we know that Jesus, amen, is from the tribe of Judah. Amen. And Judah is the current Hebrews tribe. Amen. The so-called African-American. He's born in Judah, in Bethlehem. Amen. And he was born, the Bible says, in the days of Herod the king. Now, in this text, we're going to have like three groups of people that we're going to be looking at. The first group we have here is what you would call Herod the king. And Herod makes up a group of people, all right? And then we're going to have the Pharisees and the scribes, and that's another group of people. And then we'll have, amen, the wise men. Somebody say wise men. And that's true because they were the wisest out of the three groups we see in this chapter, you see? You see, Herod the Great represents people, amen, that's really not looking for Christ in their heart. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. If you know your history, Herod the Great was the king, amen, of Israel, of Judea at the time. The only problem is, amen, he wasn't the real king. And the real king had just been born. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Jesus was a threat to Herod. He was a threat to his power, his position. He was a threat to the way he lived his life because Herod was an extremely sinful person. His whole family was, amen. They killed people indiscriminately, amen, and they did a lot of sexual immorality. And when the King of Kings show up, everything has got to change. He wouldn't be able to enjoy the sin he used to enjoy. He wouldn't have the popularity, the fame, the position. His throne would have to be abdicated, given unto the real King of Kings, Yahshua HaMashiach. Come on, give him some glory, amen? That's Herod the Great, amen. And he hears about Jesus being born, but he's not happy about Jesus, you see? There's a group of people in the earth just like Herod. They figure out, amen, that Jesus done came in. He done come close to their life. Maybe somebody in the family done got saved. Maybe the wife done got saved. Amen. Maybe the children done got saved. Amen. Maybe the, hallelujah, the husband gets saved. Amen. But Jesus is coming close to you. All right? And when Jesus is coming close to you, you know that the party is about to be over. You know that the sin you was indulging in, you know that the position, the place, the prestige, all that is about to be done, because you can't continue living like you live when the King of Kings show up. All right? All right? And so for some people, amen, they're going to act like Herod act. They're going on the cool, you know what I'm saying? Tell me where he at. Tell me where I could find him. Tell me where I can go. But in the heart of hearts, amen, they don't want to worship Jesus. In the heart of hearts, they don't even want, amen, the people around them to worship Jesus. We're going to see in this text, amen, that Herod, or we've just read, that Herod only wants to know where Jesus is so he could try to kill Jesus. Because he wants to keep his position as king. There's somebody here tonight. You're living like Herod. You've been brought here tonight, amen, but you don't even like all this Jesus stuff. Because you know that Jesus is going to mandate you to change. And you're here and you're playing like you like church. But when you leave, you're going to have 25 things that was wrong that only you see. Nobody else see it but you. And you're going to complain about this, complain about that. The water fountain didn't work. I didn't like what Pastor had on. He didn't have on a tie, amen. And them girls, they were dancing all right, but I didn't like one of them shoes. It's going to be all kind of stuff. But the reality of it is, and that's right, they didn't have no shoes on, huh? That's what I'm saying. But the reality of it is you ain't got a problem with none of them things, none of them people. You got a problem with Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? That's Herod, man. That's Herod. You know? And we're going to see the end of Herod. See, because without Christ as king of your life, amen, things is not going to work out. And they're not going to work out long. The funny thing about our life is that you don't really gain your life until you lose your life to Christ. Amen? When you give him what you've been trying to hold on to, that's when he really give your life. You know? You see? But also in the text, amen, before we get to the wise men, hallelujah, we see another group. In verse 4, it tells us in Herod, he was troubled and when he saw the wise men, and the Bible says he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and all those people together, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So here's the second group, the chief priests. All right? The chief priests. Now this group is the religious group. They always in church. And they know their Bible. But they don't know the God of the Bible. Anybody hear me up in here? They close to church but far from God. Y'all know people like that? Oh, they in church all the time. Some of them go every day. But they don't know nothing about God like that. Not in a real way. They have religion without relationship. Anybody hear me up in here? That's the scribes and the Pharisees. We know that they know their Bible because Herod asked him. He said, where should Christ be born? And they gave him the exact text found in Micah. They say, listen, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they even quoted it for him. They knew. And how you know? How many people know that people could know the Bible and still not be saved? How many people know you could know your Bible and still not know Jesus? And that's what Jesus told him. He said, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life, but they are them that point to me. Jesus said, you're in love with the scriptures, but you ain't in love with the one who wrote the scriptures. You ain't in love with him. And that's the chief priests and the Pharisees. The funny thing is, minister, is they know where Jesus at. They know exactly where he's going to be born. They even know exactly when, but ain't none of them down there. We're going to see in a second that the wise men got to come all the way, hallelujah, from the east. Amen. And these people are a few miles away from where Jesus at. They know exactly where he at, know exactly where to find him, but they not around him giving gifts and worshiping. Some of the worst people, amen, are religious church people. Anybody hear me up in there? Ooh, I didn't mean to make you drop your Bible, Miss Denise. You see? They got all the answers to your questions. You see? But they ain't got Jesus. You know? And so you have these right here. All right? Herod. You got the scribes and the Pharisees. The chief priests. And then you got the wise men. And we winding on down. These wise men, amen, we find them in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. We find them even in Exodus, amen. They were called magi. Somebody say magi, which is short for magician. And so anytime you see a magician in the Bible, it's usually a magi, you see. And they were advisors to kings. They helped make great decisions. And these magi were trained in all of the academic studies known to men. Whether it was astronomy, mathematics, all kinds of sciences and literature and history. They would usually study all the religions of the world. Amen. They were the magi, and they called them wise men. Because if you needed a question answered, usually you could call them and they would help you out. In the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar was troubled by his dream, the Bible says he called for the magi. He called for the wise men. The only problem is that they couldn't help him. And Nebuchadnezzar was not only telling them to interpret his dream, but Nebuchadnezzar went as far as to tell them, no, y'all tell me my dream and then interpret my dream. And the Magi said, oh, king, this has never been asked before. If you tell us the dream, we're going to tell you what it means. He said, nah. If y'all really wise, tell me my dream. And Nebuchadnezzar said, if y'all don't tell me my dream, I'm knocking all of y'all off. And the decree went through all throughout Babylon that all of the magi, all of the wise men, were going to be killed. And there was a certain wise man named Daniel. And when Daniel got the decree, amen, Daniel did what we all should do when we're in trouble. Daniel prayed to the Most High God. He told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, y'all stand in agreement with me. And we know how the story ended. Daniel not only, he went in there and not only interpreted the dream, but he told Nebuchadnezzar the dream he had. He told him the dream. He said, Daniel, you're the one that can, you're the man. He said, nah, I'm not the man. I'm just connected to the man. That's all it is. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm just connected to the man. I'm not the man. He said, interpretations belong to God. You see? And then they made Daniel the leader of the Magi. They exalted him. And all the magi had to study under him. And if you're a believer and you got all these people under you, what you going to teach them about? You're going to teach them about God. Daniel start teaching the magi about the Most High, about the Word of God. And we know, hallelujah, as we're going on a 21-day fast, Daniel went on a 21-day fast, the Daniel fast. And in that 21-day fast, guess what? God revealed to him exactly the time and place that Messiah was going to be born. God revealed that to Daniel. Gave it to him. And Daniel figured out, amen, the exact year that Christ would be born. And then he'd come and he'd do astronomy study. He knew how the constellations was going to look in that year, that month, that day. And Daniel taught it to the Magi and he told them, I might not be here when he's born, but here's the books. Here's what you look at. When you see his star, when you see that constellation, that event, go to Israel because the King of Kings is born. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's why they got it together. They got and they began to travel. They began to travel because they knew something special was happening. And they believed God and they believed Daniel. And they traveled, amen. There's a song, they traveled over mountains. Amen. They traveled through swamps. They traveled through rivers. They traveled miles and miles to come and see this king. You see? You say, Pastor, did they think he was just a special man? No, no, no. We know that they didn't think he was just a special man because what they did when they showed up. They brought him three things. They brought him gold. They brought him frankincense, and they brought him myrrh. These Magi had a complete understanding of who Yahshua HaMashiach was. Anybody hear me up in here? You say, why? Because gold is a gift for kings. You ain't bringing no king no copper. So when they brought him gold, they recognized his kingly authority. This is a king. And if you think that the gold was something, the frankincense was even better. Frankincense is not a gift to a king. Frankincense is not even a gift to a man. Frankincense is a sacrifice of praise to a God. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, y'all ain't. He gave him gold and frankincense. He would be a king man, but he'd also be a God man. And then John, they gave him myrrh. Ooh, what that is. Well, we get a taste of it when Jesus, amen, is crucified. They wrap him in aloes and myrrh. Remember what Joseph of Arimathea did? They wrapped him. You see, myrrh was used for funerals. Oh, God have mercy. Them boys come in when he a baby. And they preaching through the gifts that they giving him. They give him gold because he a king. They give him frankincense because he's a God that they got to worship. And they give him myrrh because they know that the king, God man, is going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. I'm trying to preach up in here. And they bow down and they worship him. They worship him. Here we have Herod trying to kill him. Here we have the religious leaders, amen, hallelujah. He down the street and they won't go. You see? But you got these wise men traveling so far. Traveling so far. It's like I could hear them singing on their way. Gotta be where you are. Woo! Wanna be where you are. You see, if Herod represents the haters of God, amen, and the chief priests represent the pretenders of God, the wise men represent the seekers of God. And my prayer tonight is that we would have some seekers of God in this house tonight, that we'd have some seekers. Carlos, I'm going to need your help. Come on up. They say, oh, Pastor, already? Yeah, already. Come on. I'm going home. Where Carlos at? You should want to go home, too. So listen. If you're here tonight, are you a God seeker tonight? Are you a wise man? You know? If you're a God seeker, you're going to be able to tell. You want to be in his house. You want to be in his house. They ain't got to trick you or push you or bribe you or give you something to be here. No, we come here, man. We come here on our own accord. They ain't got to fuss with us, man, to love him. Because we God seekers, man. If they had to close the doors to this place, guess what? We'd feel through the network and we'd find us a place where we can all get together under some tree in the middle of, and just worship. We God seekers, man. We not only come to church, we read our Bibles. We pray. We do the best we can to please him in everything that we do. Not perfect, but pressing. We God seekers, man. And we give him gifts. Not in the physical merely, but we give him gifts of our soul. We give him the gold. We acknowledge him as our king. We give him our praise. We acknowledge him as our God, our supplier, our Nisi, our Jireh, our Siskanu. Woo! And we acknowledge the myrrh. That though we were sinners, worthy of death, he was born to die as a sacrifice for all of our sins. And if you admit you're a sinner and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave, if you confess it with your mouth, believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, as long as you turn to him right now. So listen, I'm going to get out the way. But I just want to pray with you before I go. So wherever you are around the room, just bow your head right now. Just bow your head right now. Souls going to be saved in their seats tonight. Right where you are. Right where you are. I want you to say, Lord, make me a wise man. Make me a God seeker. I admit I've fallen short of your glory. I've sinned. But make me a God seeker. I believe you. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. You rose on the third day. Save me, Lord. And make me a God seeker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him some glory, somebody. Come on, give him some glory. Come on, you should praise him, Pastor, and kept y'all till 10 o'clock tonight. Somebody should shout. Hallelujah. Love y'all, saints. Go and celebrate our Savior with your families. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Bless you with shalom, peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, he deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. Hallelujah.